A little over a week ago now, it was early morning. In fact, for those of you that know me and my maybe work habits, I tend to get up early and I like to get started early in my day. There's something about the quiet of the morning for me where, you know, I'm able to think about things, or I'm able to process things a little bit differently than when, you know, the busyness of everybody else's day starts meshing in with mine. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, that was not the case. I would sleep till noon. But somewhere along the line, I just started getting up earlier and earlier, and it seems like, for me, I do some of my best work early in the morning. This particular morning, I was experiencing what I call, for me, I call them the blues. Some people might say if you were feeling it, you would be depressed in some way. In no way was I depressed. But I have this kind of, when I was a kid, my mom did this personality test for me. And I came across with a personality trait called melancholy. I don't know what that is. It sounded like a disease of some sort. But I've always been someone that has been a little bit, retrospective or reflective. I think a little bit deeper about things, and that kind of gets me in trouble sometimes. But nonetheless, I get into these patterns or these times where I'm quiet. But in those times, I do good thinking. I mean, I think well in those moments. But I'm difficult to be around when I'm kind of feeling that way or in that kind of a mode. And this particular morning was one of those mornings where I was feeling that really heavily, and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to go for a drive. Now, I'm not a go-for-a-drive kind of person. I drive a Jeep most of the time, and there's no guarantee that thing's going to ever make it from point A to point B. So there's always a little risk with that. But I decided I was going to go for a drive. Now, it was still pretty early in the morning, and so sure enough, I took off for my drive. And as I was driving, 7 a.m. started to approach. And things late to mid-December in Sioux Falls really start to change come around 7 a.m. And it wasn't long before I realized I'd made a poor decision going on a drive. I was not feeling better about the traffic and the minivans getting kids from point A to point B, and I think everybody touching the dials and yelling at kids in the back seat, not paying attention to the road in front of them. So I decided I need to get off the road. So I pulled off. I was south of town, and I pulled off to this place that kind of said it was like a cafe of some sort. And I went in, and I decided I wanted a cup of hot chocolate. Now, I drink coffee, not regularly. Hot chocolate, probably once or twice a year at the most. For whatever reason, this morning I wanted hot chocolate. It is difficult as a man to go into a place and order hot chocolate. It's also difficult as a human being to pay $4, $5, $6 for hot chocolate. There's just something wrong about that, because I think 28 cents, a Swiss Miss, you know, mix, you tear the thing off and pour it in, you know. But nonetheless, it's what I wanted. And so I went to this place, and the price was reasonable. So I said I'd like to have a hot chocolate, ready to say it was for my kid. But so as I stood there, and as the barista was making my hot chocolate, I was paying attention to what she was doing. And she reaches into this cooler that's under the counter, and she pulls out a gallon of whole milk. Now, the minute she pulls out a gallon of whole milk, there's something in me that says, this is going to be a correct hot chocolate. Because whole milk is kind of the foundation, right? I mean, if you're making real, I know some of you are like, what do you mean? I thought just tap water and you pour the powder in. Like, that'll get you by if you want hot chocolate. But I mean, like, the real deal, like real hot chocolate, like the way God made it, it starts with whole milk. Now, there's other things that you can add to it, but she had whole milk that she started with, and she steamed that, and then she did some kind of chocolate powder. I don't know what that was that she put in, but I was mildly impressed at this point. And then she pulls out this tiny little bottle, and it was vanilla extract. Now, it was imitation, but nonetheless, she put a couple of drops in that hot chocolate. And I thought, my goodness, like, this is for real. Like, I was ready to pay $4 or $5, but it was only a couple of bucks for the hot chocolate. She then asked me, did I want marshmallows and whipped cream? No, men don't do marshmallows and whipped cream. Like, I'd have to turn in my man card right there if I would have done that. And as I sipped that hot chocolate, maybe it's because it's the time of the year, maybe because I knew that the Christmas Eve service was coming up, but I had like a just bona fide flashback in that moment of my grandmother. Now, my grandmother, she passed away many years ago now, and her name was Marlita Heath. I've not known any other Marlitas. Anyone else know a Marlita? It's just seriously not a common name. Like, if you do, like, death of Marlita, it's just my grandma that's going to pop up on Google. Her obituary. But that was her name, as common name for me. And, you know, my grandmother, she's very special to me in my life. In fact, I would bet, I'm not sure about this, but I would bet that she kind of had that same kind of blues kind of feel at times in her life, where she thought a little bit more retrospectively about things. She was a little quieter at times. You might have suspected at times that she was sad or depressed, but I don't think that was the case. I think her and I maybe shared a little bit of that, but I was a little too young and too concerned about other things to really pay attention to that when I think I would have liked to have. But I would spend time with my grandmother and my grandfather every single summer. We'd go up to Diamond Lake in the state of Oregon. Yes, it's called Oregon. People call it something different, but let me tell you, the people that live there call it Oregon. So we're going to say that's the right way to say it. But there's this little lake there called Diamond Lake, which is right next to that real giant lake called Crater Lake. And we'd go up to Diamond Lake, Oregon, and they would be up there for the whole summer, but I'd spend about 2 weeks with them. Now, my grandfather was a fisherman. We fished Diamond Lake, all over that lake, caught plenty of rainbow trout out of that lake. My days were filled while I was there. If I wasn't fishing with my grandfather, we were cleaning fish. My grandmother was canning fish. We had fish for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We had fish patties, fried fish, fish meatballs. You know, I mean, I know you're like, gross. No, grandma made some seriously good fish meatballs. But that was, I was busy. I was chopping wood. I was chasing chipmunks. Whatever I could do to keep myself busy, but I loved being up there. And then in the evening, we would sit around the campfire. And as that campfire died down, my grandfather started yawning a lot. They were those fake kind of yawns, you know, that are kind of a hint that we're going to turn in now. And so as the fire died down, no more logs got put on, and eventually we'd head on into their trailer. They had this silver streak trailer, probably about 30 foot or so. My grandfather went to the back and went to bed. My grandmother, she'd sit at the little table there. There's a small light above the table, and I'd sit there with her, and we would talk. That was really the only time that I really got to talk with my grandmother. Now, talking happened over a game of some sort. Kings in a corner. Uno, maybe. Gin Rummy, which she smoked me at all the time. Maybe Skip-Bo. Dominoes. These are the things that my grandmother and I played together at that little table while we heard my grandfather snoring in the back. And then she would always ask me a question. She would say, popcorn or hot chocolate? Actually, she said hot cocoa. That's what she would say. I never understood why was it popcorn or hot cocoa? You know, it's like she was saying oil or water, you know? You do you want to go here or there? Like, to me, it was kind of like chocolate and peanut butter. Like, why not cocoa and popcorn? But that was a choice. And sometimes I chose popcorn because she made that over the stove on this little tiny pan. Well, it wasn't that small, but she'd just pop the kernels and then she'd melt real butter until it just soggy on all those kernels. And she called that popcorn. It was delicious. But most of the time I would choose hot cocoa. And so what she would do, she'd get up at the little burner there in the camper, and there was a, you know, gas flame. And she did have a very small saucepan for this. And she would reach into the refrigerator, and she would grab whole milk because that's what they drank. And she'd start with whole milk, but then Grandpa, of course, he liked to have half and half in his coffee. So a little half and half went in because whole milk isn't quite rich enough for good hot cocoa. And so she'd put a little of the half and half in, and then she reached into the little cupboard she had up there, and she had this chocolate that was powder, but if you tasted it, it was disgusting. There was no sugar in this, okay? So she'd take some scoops of that, baker's chocolate, whatever you want to call it, and she'd put that in there until that started to kind of melt away. Then she would take raw sugar. If you've ever seen raw sugar, it's kind of brown and real big crystals, and she'd put that in there to start to sweeten it up. Then she'd take some semi-sweet chocolate chips and throw a few of those in there. And then she'd take vanilla extract, but it was an imitation, and it came from Mexico. It was Mexican vanilla, and she would put a few drops of Mexican vanilla inside this hot cocoa. Well, by the time she got done with this concoction, she would pull out these little white mugs that she had, and she had also on the stove a little pot of hot water that was there. She'd take your mug and hold it in the hot water. See, because you don't want a cold mug to wreck your hot cocoa. And once the mug got up to temperature, she'd shake it off, dry off the outside, and then pour the hot cocoa in. Now, for Grandma, there was no marshmallows. There was no whipped cream. In fact, as a kid, I didn't even know those things existed for hot cocoa, because it wasn't like it was a big fanfare. This is just what we did. I chose hot cocoa or popcorn. But marshmallows and all that, that wasn't in the pantry. That wasn't a part of it. These were all things that were already in the pantry. And then my grandmother and I, we would sit there while we played a game, and we would sip and drink this hot cocoa, and I'd have cup after cup after cup. And it was in those times that something would happen. Our conversation would change from just the kinds of things a grandson might say to a grandmother, and we started to talk about things that I was interested in, or talking about things that I thought about, or she would start to ask me questions about my life and about my family and about things that were important to me. And something about that hot chocolate would loosen my tongue. Sometimes I'd wake up the next day and go, man, did I really tell Grandma that? But she just never surprised by what I said. She was as patient as could be. And I think she just knew that that hot cocoa somehow, some way, was going to get me to start talking, and it always did. And eventually, as the night wore on, she'd eventually say something along the lines of, you better get to bed before you float down a chocolate river. And the light would go out, and you sleep pretty good on 3 or 4 cups of hot cocoa. So as I was a week or so ago in that place drinking that hot chocolate, I don't know what it was about it that made me flash back to those days. Those days of my grandmother that I just miss her so much. And I think of the conversations that we had. I think of the times that she prayed for me, the times that she encouraged me. I can remember one time when I was just far from God in my life and in my journey. She was in the backseat of the car, and we were driving from Fresno all the way up to Sacramento. She was in the backseat, and she, from the backseat, said, I think someday you're going to be a pastor. And I thought Grandma had put something special in her hot cocoa. And grandmas have a way of knowing certain things. But as I reflect back on that, I think the thing that strikes me the most is somehow, some way, I think Grandma was paying attention to me. And all those conversations, I think I was revealing things that I didn't know I was revealing, but things that she heard and things that she noticed. And so as I was drinking that hot chocolate, I think I was reminded that, you know, there are a lot of significant things that happen around cups of hot cocoa or coffee or Diet Coke. I don't know what your beverage is of choice. But there's something about sitting down with someone and sharing some kind of drink together and hearing about each other's life and about each other's journeys. This Christmas, you are getting ready to share a cup of something with someone. Some of these people, maybe you have been really looking forward to seeing. And I hope that those are rich moments for you. Catching up, hearing what's been going on. You know, in today's day and age with all of the social media stuff, it seems like nothing's a secret anymore. We know everything about each other before we even meet each other. But you know, there's those questions that you can ask one another. There's ways of listening and paying attention to one another that can't be found on a wall page or some kind of post or update or photo or meme or whatever, like my grandma used to do. And pay attention to some of the deeper things and ask the questions that maybe someone wouldn't so easily reveal, but in the comfort and the safety and the transparency of that conversation that they would be willing to share. And then treasure that as a gift. Because if someone shares something with you, it's a risk to share with you. Treasure those things. You're also going to share a cup with some people that maybe you're not so excited about sharing a cup with. Maybe you're afraid of anything that's going to come up in discussion. But do realize that God can be there in the midst of that discussion too. That through that conversation, you can express grace or maybe even forgiveness. That you have the opportunity to be an extension of God's love and grace to someone through whatever means that might be. But this Christmas, there's also some people that you're not going to get to share a cup with again. People that have passed on. Last Christmas, it was different. This Christmas, they're no longer here. I think that's one of the hardest things about a holiday is when you enter into those times and all the traditions and all the memories, and yet someone's missing. So I don't know where your hope is with that, but in my understanding of who God is and what He's about, I have great, great hope that those that I love that have gone on before me are together sharing their cup of Joe, and that they're doing just fine. And though I miss them, I look forward to at some point and sometime on my timeline, my journey of making my way to heaven. And in all the mystery of what heaven is, I do hope that there's an opportunity at some point for me to have some hot chocolate with my grandmother, to go fishing with my grandfather, to see people that knew me and prayed for me, to see those that never did get to meet me but still prayed for the future of the heritage of our family, for the people of faith that passed it down generation from generation, and it's landed with you, and the responsibility that we have to share it with others. You see, that's what Christmas is all about. We can get caught up in the presents. We can get caught up in all the festivities. But when it comes down to it, it's relationships. Those that are here and those that have gone on, and those that are yet to come. And so whether it is actual hot chocolate or not, whatever it might be, to realize that your presence with people is important and significant. And to pause long enough to listen, to take a risk enough to talk and to share, and to really know someone. Because we can learn from each other, we can be encouraged by each other, we can offer forgiveness, we can receive forgiveness, and we can give hope, and we can give love, and we can give Christmas. So that morning as I drank my hot chocolate, I was having this whole memory, feeling very nostalgic, and I headed out to my vehicle, and I thought, what am I going to do with my day, or what am I going to learn from this whole thing? And in that very moment, I slipped on some ice and threw my hot cocoa all over the parking lot. That's just how life goes sometimes. but doesn't mean they're not significant moments, things that we can learn. Never goes as planned. And so in a few moments, we're going to sing a few more songs. We're going to get ready to pass out some fire. I'll give you some instructions on that after these next songs. But when you exit, you're going to see some stations out there. And those stations are filled with hot chocolate. It's a tradition we have around here at Hillcrest. But it's not just hot chocolate. It's my grandma's recipe. So it's got about 15,000 calories per 6 ounces. But you'll remember it. And God is good. And God is love. And he came here as Emmanuel to be God with us. And we need to share him with others. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for the hope that we can have in you. That you would challenge us in those moments where we can have a metaphorical cup of hot chocolate with someone, and to share our life and to hold very tightly the gift of the things that they share with us. That we would be willing to be known, that we would take the time to know others, and that we can be extensions of your love and grace, that we can be extensions of hope, that we can be people that pass on the forgiveness to others that you have given to us. And so in all that we do in this Christmas season and the busyness and the paper and the gifts and all of what is our traditions, you would help us to continue to create room in our hearts for the relationships that mean so much, and to love others and to stop long enough to hear and to pass on and to hold in treasure the gifts we give to one another through our relationships with each other. We thank you that you love us enough to come, that we can celebrate Christmas as God with us, and that you love us, and that you know us, that you've sacrificed for us, and that you've provided an example for us to give your love to others. We thank you for that love. In Jesus' name, amen.